open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. She told me to preach for 45 minutes, so she said she's walking out to go get her cake first, you know. I'm just going to share just one section of verses and not do the, I wasn't sure how long it would be. I figured it was going to be a lot of music and not much preaching, which is okay with me because I'm getting hungry. So I want you to take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and I think I want to just bring out a couple things real quick on what I think God calls us to do as a good pastor and as a good shepherd of a church, and just three things I want to bring out, and then I'll give you some instructions of how we're going to end our service and have just a fellowship time with our meal. I want to read just the first six verses, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bonds of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called with one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, through all, in all. I think one of the key things that the battle that churches deal with today, that I think that Brother Lester does a very good job of, is just tell the truth. Teach the truth. What is the truth of the gospel? What is the truth of the Bible? There are so many things that we do. You know, one of the things that I've learned over the years that I've been here is, you know, Lester could pretty well say anything, and he just gets away with stuff that I just couldn't say. I'd get whacked or slapped or something, and he torments our DOM, our director of mission, and says stuff and makes fun of him, and then we'll go to the Minister Alliance, and he makes fun of the pastors sometimes there, and he'll just say stuff, and I'm like, ooh, I'm leaning back, you know, but it's usually the truth, you know. It's usually something that's funny or something they've said. He kind of corrects them, and I'm like, ooh, boom. But teaching the truth through all the stuff that we see out there, all the doctrines, all the things that people are trying to adjust the gospel to fit their lifestyle, we have got to teach the truth. I think that's something that happens in churches that are successful for the Lord, in churches that are moving and doing things and reaching people, which I feel like this church is a church that does that. The second one is living worthy of the calling. One of the saddest things in ministry, now that I've been in ministry 25 years, is I've seen the breakdown of staff members where they've had moral problems, they've had affairs, or I've had several friends that have just gotten out of the ministry. They've just given up. I'm done with it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of fighting the battle. And I think it's hard sometimes to live worthy of the calling, but the calling is such a high calling of God to be put in charge of the spiritual well-being of a group of people where you're basically held accountable. In James chapter 3, verse 1, it says you're going to receive a stricter judgment, so let not many of you be preachers or teachers or stuff like that, as Sunday school teachers, as preachers, as pastors, as youth pastors. We're put in charge of a group of people to try to guide their spiritual walk, to try to guide their spiritual development. There's successes and there's failures and there's difficult times, but the stress and the pressure of walking worthy of the calling you've been given, but also the reward of that. That God says, I've taken you, chose you to be in charge of a group of people. It is tremendous when that group of people gets to grow. And you see over 30 years this size to adults that are some of your deacons are teaching Sunday school or, you know, teaching in Bible school and all the ministries. The third thing is keeping the unity. There's probably never been a time in the history of the church where it's been more difficult to keep the unity of a church. And a sign of a successful pastor is a sign of a pastor that can keep a church going in the same direction that God wants it to go, and uniting the people of that church together to follow that path, to follow that structure that's been laid out there. When churches split over which side the piano and the organ on, or they split over carpet color, or, you know, things that are so trivial that God probably is so saddened to hear us argue and fight about. And when we worry about things that are non-Christian, that we're worried about image, or we're worried about this or that, and a pastor that can come in and continue the unity and draw us in the same direction, it's a struggle. It's a battle. You know, there's been times when I've walked in, and Lester, we've met in the hall or something, or here at church, and I've said, I just don't get it sometimes. I'm so frustrated with this, or I'm frustrated with that. And he gives me guidance, and he speaks to me about, you know, what our purpose is and how to hang in there, you know. And there's times, I'm sure, that he goes to Paula, like I do with Patty, and I come home, and stuff that I don't share with friends or church or anything like that, and I share with my spouse, where she's got to hear his struggles and battles and feel sorry. When I gave my life full-time ministry, into the full-time ministry, my mom shared with her, and she cried. They weren't tears of joy. She had been a pastor or a staff member's wife for 50 years, and she said, there's going to be so many heartaches and difficult times and battles, but there's also so many victories. So you have to measure what the victory is, what the goal is of your ministry, what the striving is, and then stay focused on that as a prisoner. At the beginning of that verse of the ministry, as you give your life to someone else, you take away from time of your vacation to go spend it with kids, as you're here on Sundays, as you're in the hospitals, and when you have to get up at 5:30 in the morning, and you're like, I'm not a morning person, you know. Those kind of things, you have to stay focused on what really God has called you to do and how important it is to lead that person and those people that you've been put in charge of in a Christian manner. So as we finish up today in our honoring of Brother Lester, we're not really going to have like an invitation time as far as the decision. If there's something that God is speaking to you about maybe making a decision, giving your life to Christ, reconnecting with God, maybe you've strayed away or something has happened there, difficult situation, or maybe if you've decided this is a church that I want to be a part of, this is a ministry that I want to be a part of, and maybe you've never joined a church, I'm going to have Brother Lester come and Paula after we have just a little bit of time, but I'm going to have them come to the front, and you can come by and shake their hands as David plays for us, and as, you know, anything you need to share with them, if it's something we need to meet after we have that welcome, or not welcome, but that fellowship time, decision to give your life to Christ, just do that. Do that. I think that would be a glorious way to honor God and honor Brother Lester, is to let him share with one more person to Christ, to lead them in a sinner's prayer, and to help them become what God wants us to be in our lives.